Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs.
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Connecticut.
Took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. Sports City, what's going on? It's your boy TP Timeless. We are back in the building. Welcome to the Sunday morning brunch. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. We got you locked and loaded for the next 60 minutes. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you are here with the chefs. We have a word from our sponsor. We got a lot to get into and limited time. Please hold.
This portion of our program is brought to you by PHI Apparel Company. PHI Apparel Company provides unique designs and high-quality clothing for the great fans of the Philadelphia area. With their original designs for all, there's no doubt that they'll stand out in the crowd. Act now and listeners can use the promo code CHEFS for 15% off any apparel when you shop online at phiapparel.co. That's phiapparel.co. Remember to use the promo code CHEFS for 15% off. Act now while supplies last.
Yeah, Sports City, so check out PHI Apparel. They've been holding us down, a sponsor, and definitely the way the Philadelphia area is playing sports. Please check them out because you got the Phillies going crazy, the Eagles going crazy. The only one letting them down right now is the Sixers, but we will try to get into as much of this as best as we can. Sports City, like I said, it's limited time. This is a big day for me, especially out here in my region. So I'm going to do the best that I can. First and foremost, I'm going to get into the Fall Classic. This is incredible. I didn't think that we would see this type of response from teams. I don't want to say out of nowhere because you know about these cities, but the way that they're playing is like you got to respect what they're doing at this point in time. First and foremost, I tip my hat. I might as well say that I don't even know how to say to save the best for last. I don't even know who to use first in this discussion. I'm just going to say I'll save the unsung hero first. The Philadelphia Phillies are primed to go to the World Series. They are taking care of business up against the San Diego Padres. They're catching a lot of people by surprise the way that this storm is brewing in the National League. Especially for me, I didn't think that would be the team out of the National League East to make this much of a storm. In the postseason, the Mets and the Braves both fall, and they're the ones still going. And I think they're clearly going to take care of business within the National League as they are up to a 3-1 lead within the NLCS. Again, like I said, I'm calling them the unsung hero, but it's like I should say that whole team is like that. Like, you don't know who's going to step up and have a good play or at bat. And Schwarber has been the monster, and he's been here before while he was in Chicago. So now that he's doing his job in the middle of Philadelphia, I think that's something that he's probably lifting them, giving them inspiration. Like, I've been here. Like, let's get this done. I don't think he's one of those boastful type of guys that's coming up there and, you know, showing off his ring or whatever. So, and Philly's actually buying into it right now. And this is an interesting storm, a way that both of these leagues are approaching each other, the National League and the American League, because, one, you have the Phillies playing this type of baseball and knocking off everybody in front of them, chowing down the Cardinals and taking care of business right now up against the Padres, too. And no, I didn't think that the Dodgers wouldn't be here. The Dodgers are out of here, too, and looking like they got the National League handled. going into a storm up against the American League too, and the way the American League is seeing this thing fit, there's a story that I want to say the Horizon or the Nation looks at, and then I personally want to look at whether – I'm going to just say personally. I don't even want to say analytically. But personally, they have to prove to everybody that they can do it without cheating. Everybody's saying that the scandal, so on and so forth, and them knocking off the Yankees. Well, now they're ahead. Clearly, no debate, up 3-0 and with a shutout in this ALCS. And the personal situation I have attached to it is Dusty Baker. Like, Dusty Baker's always been good enough to get these teams to the pinnacle, to a World Series, and then they fall flat on him. They'll lose. So this is a situation where he can try and get one and bring it back to Texas, and this will be one of the more uplifting situations because a lot of people are against the Astros because of what happened or what they were able to find on his Astro team years back, and now they are back in the postseason, back at the same scene of the crime where they fell short, and everything's clicking the right way. And for them to go into the Bronx, because I'm going to be honest, Sports City, I didn't think that this was a team that could go into the Bronx while the atmosphere would be in play. It was 50 degrees last night during the game, so it's cold. I thought that them being from Texas, this could be somewhat of a help for the Yankees. They went into Yankee Stadium and kept that building quiet, and that's the mystique of the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. They try to get the crowd involved and, you know, build off of that aura. They could not get into that game at all. And just to see the way that they're doing it, no matter who's up there, from Garrett Cole pitching to Judge at the plate, Stan at the plate, no, they're not even getting good at bats. And, I mean, personally, I'm still attaching to my personal situation with Josh Donaldson leaving the Twins and how he left, and he was, like, you know, blowing a lot of smoke upon leaving. They had a great start, and for the Yankees to fall apart this bad at the finish line, it's like, what's going on, and what do they need to tie up moving forward? This is an incredible situation. The Yankees have to win. Their backs are against the wall, and I don't think they can do it. I really think they'll win game four. I think the Yankees will win game four. I don't think they get swept. The way that they're playing, it looks like they'll get swept, but I think they'll save face and lose in Texas. Texas will celebrate down there in Texas and get ready for a World Series. But if the Yankees get swept, there are a lot of questions that need to be answered outside of just if they bring back Judge. I think Judge is the big question. How do they entice or entertain his contract talk? But their rotation, their pitching, that's something that they need to worry about right now. And defense is an issue. All around the diamond defensively is their issue. They always can get up to the plate and get hits. They're a home run team at best. But if they're trying to play small ball, you can beat the Yankees. The only team they beat up on is the Minnesota Twins. I don't understand how the Twins can't figure it out, but the rest of the league can. Okay, so I do have Mike here. So, Mike, welcome to the Brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
What's up, CP, man? I'm always feeling good when I get to sit down and chop it up at the brunch with you, man. Listen to your commentary on the baseball postseason. Just happy to join in with you, brother. How are you?
Okay, so we have an hour, so let me know where you want to go to on National League and American League. So I'll let you go National League first, and we could tie this up in American League afterwards.
Okay, so National League, like, this Phillies team is just hot. We talked about this before. It's not always the best team that wins in October. Sometimes the hottest team. Listen, Bryce Harper has been very good. The supporting cast is chiming in too. JT Realmuto, his first chance in October, playing well. Schwarber, this team is just hot right now. And now you have your two best pitchers lined up to pitch the next two games. You know, listen, this Phillies team, you know, obviously hasn't been back to the World Series since 2009, but the stage is definitely set for them to go back there again this year. And like I said, man, this team just got hot. They dispatched the Cardinals in two games, swept them. They spanked the Braves in four. The Braves had one game that they pitched well and played well. And they really got in the better part of the Padres. Even last night, man, Philly starter didn't pitch well. Falter came in, got rocked, and the Phillies just bounced right back. Cut the lead in half in the first inning with a two-run home run from Hoskins extra base hit, RBI from Bryce Harper, got right back in the game, and their bats are just hot, man. The Padres don't have enough pitching to silence those bats, and I was wrong. The Padres have a deep bullpen, and I thought they would have enough, but They're not going to pull three games off in a row in this series. It's Philly's going back, man. And then as far as the American League, I got a couple things on the Yankees, but real quick with the Astros, one of the cool things that I've seen in this series is it's been some of the unsung guys. It's been Chaz McCormick, who was split time in center field and couldn't get the everyday job. It's had a big series. I told you yesterday I thought that Javier pitching would be good for the Astros. I didn't think the Yankees were catching much of a break at all by avoiding Lance McCullers, who is a bulldog on the mound, who I expect to pitch well today. Astros are going to win that series in New York, whether it be tonight or tomorrow. They're not going back to Houston except to get ready for the World Series. The Yankees would have to win the next two for Houston to clinch that thing in Texas and for the Yankees to have to take that flight back down south. But they might as well stay comfortable in the Bronx or, you know, wherever they want to go in the offseason or whatever, because Houston's going back down to Texas alone to get ready to host whoever comes out of the National League, which is probably going to be the Phillies. And then you mentioned that Yankees team. Yeah, they got to get this. They got to figure out their pitching. Nestor Cortez going tonight. He had a really good year. They got to see if at some point they can get Severino right. But they traded away some of their pitching right before the deadline, and that's kind of come back to bite them. But, I mean, honestly, it don't matter what kind of pitching you got, really, if you can't score. This team got shut out last night. Cole didn't really pitch that bad, but this team got shut out last night. They can't string together hits. As you said, they have to make a decision on Aaron Judge. And who knows, man, like, this team is feast or famine. They're home run or strikeout. It makes you wonder if there are at least some people in the Yankees office going, with the amount of money that we could pay Judge, maybe we could bring two or three guys in to try to help this lineup and give us some more contact hitters throughout. I don't know. I don't know what the fix is for this Yankees team, but it's interesting because you look at both of these teams on different trajectories. The Yankees are going to be disappointed if they lose. It's going to kind of seem like a failure considering the hot start they got off to. The Padres, if they lose, they still encourage going into next year, right? They slayed the Dodgers, the big brother, in the first round. They won their wild card series. They beat two 100-win teams in order to get here. And so they were one of the last two teams standing. And then next year, you're going to have Soto for a full year. You should have Tatis back. These postseason games count towards his suspension, so I think he would be back close to the end of April, May of next year. So we'll see. But the Padres are going to be feeling very optimistic going into next year, whereas the Yankees are going to be extremely disappointed.
So how do you feel about the situation where Houston is actually in this precedent situation where America is like, they thought they were cheating. Well, they have findings, and they're getting here, getting back to the same scene of crime where they lost last year, and going up against a crazy foe in the Phillies where they're playing with a ton of house money at this point in time. How do you see this panning out if this does go down that way?
Well, I mean, listen, I think I've said this about every Phillies opponent that they've played, with the exception of the Cardinals. If you look on paper, I feel like Houston is a more talented team up and down just because they have ridiculous pitching depth, right? You got at least two starters that pitch well during the regular season that are coming out of the bullpen to supplement what was already a good bullpen, right? So, I mean, I feel like on paper, Houston wins, but we know that games aren't played on paper. They're played inside TV sets. So we'll see what happens. I mean, these Philly bats are hot. If I were going to bet it, I would still probably put money on Houston, but, man, you just can't underestimate a really hot team. It's funny because one of the things you mentioned when you mentioned the 2017 thing, one of the guys that came under the most scrutiny during that was Jose Altuve, right? And I don't know what he did last night, but I know leading up to last night, this guy, the leadoff hitter, the igniter of that offense, was 0-for-23 in the postseason, hadn't even gotten on base yet, and this team still hasn't lost a game in the playoffs so far. So this Houston team is deep, talented across the board, and they can even beat you with the guys at the bottom of that lineup. So it's going to be a tough matchup. But, listen, the Phillies, like you said, playing with house money, they're going to play loose and free. And Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola will definitely be formidable pitching opponents in game one and game two, or, you know, however they end up stacking it up in the World Series. So, listen, they're definitely going to be a challenge. And, you know, nobody really thought the Braves were going to beat the Astros last year. The Phillies could do it. I just think eventually that bullpen is going to tell off on them. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But you mentioned Dusty Baker, man. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride, or always a groomsman, never a groom. He's been there several times. Dusty Baker is one of the good guys in baseball who's done it for a long time. To me, that is the one reason why I could be okay with the Astros winning the World Series this year, so I could see Dusty finally get his ring.
And it's always him in a tough scenario, like when he was with San Francisco, it's the Barry Bonds run, and Barry's going recklessly crazy at the plate, and San Francisco all fell asleep. The whole team fell asleep except Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds is the only one still hitting, but the team fell asleep. The Angels ended up winning the championship. And then now while he's with Houston, they fell apart last season. And, you know, right now it could be a perfect scenario for him to get one, but the Phillies are hot at the right time. So it's like his poison has always been in the cup, and if he sips it or not is the question. So hopefully Houston could get out of their way. Okay, so I'm going to get past this because we got a lot to get into, and I only have 44 minutes to go. So we are in the top 25 of the college football scheme of things, and it's pretty interesting, but we will start with how Ohio State took care of business up against Iowa, 54-10. Iowa, I do not believe in you. I don't care how good you may look in your division in the Big Ten. This is a shellacking, and it's always going to look like that until they get to, like, a Big Ten championship and lose big in the Big Ten championship. If they can play well throughout the season and show that they could beat one of the creme de la cremes in the Big Ten, it's always going to be them going 8-4, 9-3, or 10-2 and get to the championship and lose. So, but this game tells me a lot. Ohio State is always going to dominate that conference, maybe get a scare from Michigan, maybe get a scare from Michigan State, but the Big Ten is always going to be theirs. Moving right along, Tennessee takes care of business up against UT Martin, 65-24. Clemson gets a big scare from Syracuse. They win this matchup 27-21 in Clemson, in which DJ was benched. And Clemson was able to pull this out while they benched DJ. DJ was actually losing the game at that point in time. Alabama wins their matchup against Mississippi State 30-6. Ole Miss is upset big in Baton Rouge, while LSU Baton Rouge Tigers get this 45-20. TCU wins their matchup up against Kansas State 38-28. Oregon wins in blowout form up against UCLA 45-30. I feel like that score doesn't even dictate how the game went. The game was, this could have got out of hand if Oregon wanted to. Oklahoma State wins their matchup against Texas 41-34. Texas was up in this game. Oklahoma State fought their way back and beat them by a score. Wake Forest wins their matchup big up against Boston College 43-15. Penn State clean beats Minnesota 45-17. Cincinnati wins their matchup up against SMU 29-27 on the road. And to round out the top 25, Tulane beats Memphis 38-28 in Louisiana. Mike, are there any games that you would like to cover top 25 before we get away from this?
Yeah, so a couple things. That Oklahoma State game, it was a really weird game in that the Oklahoma State quarterback threw for right at 400 yards. And Quinn Ewers for Texas was 19 out of 49, and they were still within a score in that game. That was a very strange football game. Clemson has turned back all the challengers in the ACC. Uyagulie was benched, as you said yesterday. Said he's going to come back next week. Dabo said he's his quarterback. What Clemson has shown me is they're probably going to finish the season undefeated, but the other thing that they've shown me is they are probably not ready to play with the top teams in the country. They keep escaping by the skin of their teeth in all these games, and I don't think that Clemson's the answer. Is, you know, Kansas State pulled that game out I'm sorry, TCU pulled that game out over Kansas State. Martinez, the Nebraska transfer, who's been so good at quarterback for them, went down in this game, and that probably hurt them. You know, like you said, not a good day for UCLA. It was 38-16 when Oregon kind of pulled their starters, and so it, you know, the score made the game look a little closer than it really was. And listen, man, I said going into the year, I said that Brian Kelly would probably lose a game that he should win. He checked that box the first game of the season. And then I said he'll probably win a game that a lot of people don't think he will win also. And listen, this was his signature win. Ole Miss coming in, tops in the country and rushing the ball, averaged 3 yards a carry. LSU said, we're going to take away the running game. We're going to make Jackson Dart beat us. And in the first quarter, he was money. He was 9 out of 10. It was nine out of his first 10 throws, he hit him. But LSU was able to pin their ears back and get after the quarterback and put pressure. They got down 17-3, outscored them 42-3 the rest of the way to win that thing 45-20. LSU got stops in the second half. LSU ran the ball better. And every time they got the ball, man, they just kept putting together long drives. I feel like Jaden Daniels, we saw progress even in the Tennessee game, as lopsided as that score was. But I think Jaden Daniels is finally starting to trust the reads and trust this offense and throw the ball down the field to receivers. You add that with his ability to move around and his, ability to make plays with his legs as well. He is a true dual threat quarterback. And he's going to have another year there to continue to settle into this offense. So this is a good game for LSU. I mean, now, listen, they got the bye, and they got Alabama coming off the bye. So it's going to be a real litmus test. But, you know, I said 8-9 wins, I would be pretty happy with them, with where they had to go. So good win for them. And, hey, man, I before we get away from this, I just got to point out, how about Tulane ranked for the first time in years. So nice to see them representing the state of Louisiana.
Yeah, I didn't think Tulane was going to be down for too long, but it was a lot of, you know, seasons where they were just getting beaten bad, and you could count that as a loss, and seeing how Vegas would have spreads so big now, you got to give them some consideration for them to be able to fight back and get into things within the conference that they're in, and especially being 25. I think they'll definitely move up with the losses that happened up the board within the top 25. Speaking on a personal situation with Miami, they are bad. I want to hear more about Tyler Van Dyke's injury. They sacked him. It was a sack fumble. He fell on his shoulder. The way that he fell on his shoulder, it looks like one of those shoulder collarbone injuries. It could be, I'm hoping it's a sprain, but I've seen Stafford take two falls like that when he was in Detroit, and it was a broken collarbone. And he walked straight off the field, like bracing his, arm and, holding on to his elbow to try to keep it in place. So that's pretty much scary. I'm hoping Jake Garcia can put it together. But Mario Cristobal was given this team and promised to turn this thing around. Mario Cristobal looks worse than Manny Diaz, and I'm not a big Manny Diaz fan by no means. And it doesn't look like it's going to get better. I know that it's going to take him time to, like, try to implement his system and get the players that he wants. But this is bad. I don't like what I see, and this is something that I was actually concerned about before him getting there to Miami. This is incredible that they're losing games to Duke. They're losing games to Middle Tennessee State. These are games that Miami is noted to win. This is not Hurricanes football. This is not the team that he played for when they won national championships. This, I don't know what Cristobal is up to. I don't know why Miami won't dig for a coach. They went and got him because he was the easy hire, because he's a Miami guy. He played for Miami as well, and to get him down to South Beach. But they're bad, and I don't even like admitting that Miami's bad at this point in time, especially losing games like this and the fact that they're losing it. Even the Texas A&M loss, where Texas A&M was not only injured, they actually got people ejected due to targeting, and you still couldn't even move the ball. Both of your quarterbacks look befuddled. I don't think anybody's used to the system that he's implementing, whether it's the guy throwing the ball, or the only thing that's successful is if Parrish gets space, Henry Parrish is able to carry the ball well. So, but I'm not thrilled with what Cristobal is right now. My hire was to try to get Ray Lewis up there and get Ed Reed there, because the defense needs help, And that defense can't stop anybody. That's an issue that they need to tackle. They can't tackle. The Miami Hurricanes can't tackle, and they need guys like, you know, a Ray or Ed to give them a swift kick so they can start playing ball. They don't have that. Ed Reed is up there like a player personnel guy. No, he needs to be involved. Like, you got him doing the wrong role. So we will see, but I'm frustrated. I doubt that they make a bowl game. I doubt Miami makes a bowl game. This is how bad I think they are. Those are at least two losses that they've suffered that they should have won that take away from at least them getting six wins on the season. This is still within reach for them to get six wins, but I'm not buying this by any means. Okay, so we have
over
30. Yes.
Can I get one more thing in there? You mentioned a team that I wanted to hit real fast. 20 seconds. Texas A&M dropped another game last night to South Carolina in the SEC. I've been telling people for years, and I'm just going to underscore it one more time. Jimbo's not that guy.
Well, we see how he'll turn it around by the end of the season. Hopefully they are bowl eligible. I think they will probably get that done, but we will see how Jimbo turns it around. Like a lot of people, I still respect him because he got the national championship down there while he was in Tallahassee. Again, I don't think he has the quarterback that he wants, but you still have to worry about Texas A&M on a week-by-week basis, especially if they're in College Station too. So I get it. They're not performing at this point in time, but, you know, everybody's going to try to play Texas A&M and Jimbo. They're toughest. They're one of those teams that you can't overlook. Okay, so we have a fair amount of time to get into everything that we can for the slate of games for this Sunday. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. For City, I got to tell you, I am at the edge of my seat because there's literally a whole get-together party for me and my family, and this is crazy. Okay, so we're going to set this thing off as best as I can for the games throughout this week seven, in which there's a fair amount. There's four teams on a bye. The Bills have a bye. The Rams have a bye. The Vikings have a bye. And the Eagles have a bye. All of the hottest teams in the league except the Rams. The Rams aren't really hot. But
Rams,
at least the Bills. Exactly. The Bills, the Vikings, and the Eagles are at least the hottest teams out of the four that are on a bye. So the first game I have, the Falcons are going into Cincinnati up against the Bengals. The Bengals are favored by 6.5 in Ohio. Who do you like in this matchup and why, Mike?
Listen, I like the Bengals, man. Like, I just think this team started a little bit slow. They got behind because of some mistakes last week, but they kept pushing and getting back, and they won on the road at New Orleans. I'm impressed with the fight that I'm seeing from this Falcons team this year, but I just think that Cincinnati and Joe Burrow have a little bit, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, all those guys, a little bit too much for Atlanta. So I like Cincinnati at home.
I like Cincinnati too, but I think Atlanta covers. I think this is going to be closer than what Vegas is up to. That hook is scary. I think a lot of people think Cincinnati can win that by a touchdown. The Falcons know a way to get this done, especially with Mariota being a mobile quarterback. Like, he's still able to move the chains and having difference makers in that scheme, especially Cordarrelle Patterson, and if he's effective in his game, I think this keeps Atlanta in the game. I still think the Bengals win this game, but I think Atlanta covers. The next matchup I have are the Indianapolis Colts going up against the Tennessee Titans. This takes place in Nashville. The Titans are favored by 2.5. This is a closely slated game by Vegas. Mike, who do you like in this matchup and why?
So have these teams played once already this year?
I don't think so. I don't think they've met yet. I'm going to ask you to look at the schedule.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I will tell you that at the beginning of this year, I said that I like the Colts to win the division. This Colts offense looks to have found another gear over the last couple of weeks. If Derrick Henry gets going, then the Titans are hard to stop. But at the end of the day, I still trust Matt Ryan a little more than I trust Ryan Tannehill. So I'm going to say the Colts win this game on the road. I don't feel extremely confident about it, but I'm going to go with the Colts today against the Titans.
They did play earlier this season. The Colts lost in Indy. The Titans won this 24-17. This was October 2nd.
That's what I thought they had already seen each other once.
I am going to actually take the Colts. I think the Colts win this game, too. I'm going with the Colts to win this. Tannehill is going to have to prove that he can win this game, especially with the core that they have. They got to get that defense off of Derrick Henry. They can load up the box if they want to. I need Tannehill to start proving that he could be a quarterback, like not just to assume the position and play the role. No, you have to be able to win these games like you did last year. While the horses were around you, they got rid of them horses for some odd reason. I don't know why, but you have to prove that you earn that $100-plus million check. The next matchup we have are the Green Bay Packers going into D.C. up against the Commanders. The Packers are favored by 4. I will go first on this. This is scary. I'm going to go with the Packers, right? But I'm going to say this right now, Sports City. I will not be shocked if the Commanders pull off the shock of the day. This game is too close for the Commanders to be in this type of situation with the Packers, and the Packers are on a two-game losing streak. They are on a losing streak. They can't afford to lose 3 in a row. I mean, within the division, I mean, no, they can't because Minnesota's flying. They can't afford to lose 3 games in a row. They can't. They can't. And knowing that, you know, Aaron Rodgers has always tested the situation and always come out on top in these certain situations, if I was the Packers, I wouldn't want to be in a scenario. So I think the Packers win, but I would not be surprised if the Commanders shock them. If they do win this, I may come up with a surprise show out of nowhere. Stay tuned, Sports City. I will come back to you on this one. Mike, who do you like in this matchup, Packers or Commanders in the Metro?
I like the Packers, but I only like the Packers because I feel like they're the less bad of two football teams right now. You know, Carson Wentz going out, at least, you know, Heineken, whatever you want to call it, has played for this team before. But I just don't know that Washington has enough offensively to win this game. I'm not impressed with what I'm seeing with Green Bay and those receivers either being able to get they're just not getting separation downfield and not able to really execute. But Green Bay does have some running backs that will be tough to stop. The Packers find a way to win, but like you said, I wouldn't be shocked if it goes the other way. I don't feel extremely confident about it.
Okay, the next matchup I have is my game of the day. The Detroit Lions are going into Dallas up against the Cowboys. The Cowboys are favored by 7. I think the Cowboys do win this game, but I think the Lions can make this interesting. If it comes down to the fourth quarter, it's a close game. I think the Lions can win this game. But with this score, the spread being at 7, I feel like Vegas is clearly giving the edge to the Cowboys, and I feel like the Cowboys are in a dangerous situation with Dak coming back off of injury and them having that loss last week up against Philadelphia. I think that their revenge is set to try to get this thing rolling while the quarterback went down with injury so many weeks ago. It's hard for me to admit that I think the Cowboys should win this game, but the Lions have to come up with stops. If that defense can't get a stop, this is going to be an old-fashioned, old-Western shootout, and I'm tired of seeing these type of games. So, Aaron Glenn, I think your job is on the line. Prove it to me that you hold on to this job. I'm going against my grain. I'm going with the Cowboys. Who do you like in this matchup, Mike? The Lions or Dallas? In Dallas, the Cowboys are favored by a touchdown.
I like the Cowboys in this game, but the big question to me with the Cowboys is, they have shown the formula once they lost their quarterback of how they need to win. They need to use that running game to set up the pass, to make for some wider windows to throw the ball and that kind of stuff. Now that you got your star quarterback back, now, Kellen Moore, show me that you can actually take the pulse of your team and have a football game. And that you don't, you know, get up in that press box and start playing Madden again and just trying to throw the ball all over the yard. I think the Cowboys can and should win this game if they play right. But if they try to have Dak drop back and throw the ball 40, 50 times and you try to match pass for pass with the Lions, it could be it could get real interesting real quick. But I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
Okay, the next matchup I have are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going into Carolina. the Bucks are favored by 13. I'm going to say the Bucks. Clearly, I want to do this fun. I really feel like the Bucks are going to win the game. I think they covered the 13. Them not covering the spread and losing to Pittsburgh has me questioning everything that's going on in Tampa. They have a lot of their guns there, but Carolina's going to have to do this while they got rid of Robbie Anderson and Christian McCaffrey in the same week. I just don't understand what Carolina's up to. They are literally letting me know that they are tanking. They got rid of their coach. They got rid of their stars. I don't know what Carolina's up to doing right now. I got to go with Tampa Bay, but I'm doing it with the spread. I think Tampa Bay wins this by blowout in Charlotte. In Charlotte, I'm going with it. Mike, how do you feel about this game?
I agree with you. I think that Tampa's mad after last week. But this is not, even though the Steelers have only won two games, the Steelers still have clearly more talent on that team than what Carolina has, as you say, giving up their guys. To me, they're trying to get in the Bryce Young sweepstakes, right? Like, they're trying to get a new coach, new quarterback, and see what they can completely build from the ground up. They got a little bit of talent on the defensive side of the ball and a few pieces, but they just don't have enough to play with Tampa today.
I'm going to tell you the truth. I'd be shocked if Carolina makes this a game. I don't care who's quarterback, and Baker, Darnold, PJ, I don't care who it is. They lost too much. The coaches don't even have it together. They're fighting with the players. That's how Anderson ended up. That's why he left. They got into an argument on the sideline. It's a disarray. I don't know what the Panthers are up to. The next matchup we have are the Giants on the road up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is a very interesting game, people. Jacksonville favored by 3 at home. I'll go first on this one. I think Jacksonville shocks the Giants. The Giants are hot as hell. 5-1 on the season. The Jaguars are 2-4, coming up with some shocking wins themselves, especially going into Los Angeles to knock off the Chargers. The Giants may have it in them to pull this off. I think they can, but there's just something about the mystique of the Jaguars this year that I think they could shock the Giants. How do you feel about this game going, Mike? Who do you like, Giants or Jaguars in Jacksonville?
I think Jacksonville started hot. They got the tie with the Colts, and then, you know, you go in and you beat the Chargers convincingly. The Chargers did not look good in that game, but I feel like they've kind of started coming back down to earth. Now, Matt Ryan had to pull off some crazy plays late to beat them. And somehow this Giants offense, held together by duct tape and silly putty, is finding a way to get it done. And I'm going to say they do it again today. I think they go into Jacksonville and win today. And we have to hear Villain yelling about them being 6-1 come Tuesday and Wednesday.
That is the truth. Oh, my goodness, he's not lying. The next matchup we have are the Cleveland Browns going up against the Baltimore Ravens. Old Browns going up against the new Browns. Division rivalry, the game that everybody in Ohio does not like Art Modell for. God rest his soul, even though a lot of people in Ohio feel differently, you got to see how they treat him even after death. Mike, your thoughts on this game. Who do you like, the Browns in Ohio or the Browns in Maryland?
I like the old Browns with the new name. Quote the Raven, nevermore. The Browns just don't have enough yet. They don't have the quarterback play. Maybe we get Deshaun Watson back later in the year, it may be a different story. But right now, I'm just not seeing enough out of the Browns to believe. You know, they got absolutely blasted a week ago, and I understand, like, each week is different. But I like the Ravens today. I think Lamar Jackson, they both these teams are coming off a loss, and I think that Baltimore is the team that bounces back this week.
I agree with you. I'm going with the Ravens, especially the way that they lost. The way that they lost to the Giants, Lamar looked bad in that play where he threw the ball away. And the disarray of them fumbling and everything. Baltimore has to get this thing rolling back in the right direction, even though the Browns need to get in the win column. This is very edgy because the Browns, if they win, they go to 3-4, and this pushes the Ravens to 3-4. If the Ravens win, they're back in cruise control and being 4-3 and this doesn't make the AFC North look as messy as it does at this point in time. This is a very interesting division at this point in time, in which if the Browns win, let's just say it like this. If the Browns win, the Ravens lose, they're 3-4, 3-4. If the Falcons shock the Bengals, everybody 3-4 in the division except the Steelers. The Steelers will be the only team that are not 3-4 at this point in time. Unless, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. Hold on. This could be interesting. Okay. The next matchup we have are the New York Jets going into Colorado to play the Denver Broncos, in which Russell Wilson is out. The Jets are favored by 1.5 in Colorado. Mike, who do you like in this matchup, the Jets or the Broncos?
I cannot believe that I'm about to say this. But with Brett Rippon starting at quarterback and with what I've seen from this Denver offense and what I've seen over the last few weeks from the Jets, I think the New York Jets go across country and go into Mile High and knock off the Broncos today.
I don't know why you'd be so shocked about that. The Broncos are playing, like, miserably. So I'm actually with you. I feel like the Jets have it. I think the Jets can pull this off and knock off the Broncos. The Broncos don't have any cohesiveness. They're already talking about getting rid of Jerry Jeudy at this point in time. Their head coach, I don't believe he's a head coach. I think he got this job by mishap or, you know, circumstance. That's the only way I look at this thing. I'm going with the Jets, like, clear cut. I'm not even, like, shocked that this is the matchup that they have. The next game we have are the Houston Texans going up against the Las Vegas Raiders. I was about to say Oakland. Glad I caught myself. I'll go first on this one. I'll go with the Raiders. The Raiders are favored by 7, a full touchdown. I think they get this done. The Texans defense is what's going to probably keep them in the game. I just feel like the Raiders cannot lose any longer. If they lose to the Texans in this game, they might as well tank, and I'm not buying what Derek Carr is cooking at all. I'm not buying that one bit. So, Mike, your thoughts on this game. Who do you like, Houston or Las Vegas? And it's in Allegiant Stadium in Nevada.
As Chris Berman used to say, the Raiders are going to get it done today. Listen, I think that it's possible that Pierce, the running back from Houston, may make some plays and keep it close for a little while. But this Raiders team just has more talent, and I think they have to start to show it. And so, like, this is the Chargers have kind of righted the ship a little bit. Kansas City is what they are. Denver is the one team that's kind of sank out of that. But if the Raiders want to try to mount any kind of comeback in the second half of the season and be in this playoff picture, this is a game you have to have today. And I think they win today at home.
Okay. The next matchup I have on slate are the Seattle Seahawks going into Los Angeles up against the Chargers. The Chargers are favored by 5 at home. This is a tough one. The Seahawks have been shocking people. They are at 500, 3-3. The Chargers have been actually, they're 4-2 and quietly doing it while having people in and out of the lineup due to injury. I will go with the Chargers at home, but it's just shock value out of the Seahawks how they've been able to get it done somehow, some way out of Pete Carroll. Who do you like in this matchup right now in this one, Mike? Are you going Seahawks or Chargers?
I'm going Chargers. Listen, I think that Herbert's been okay lately, but I also think the biggest thing is I think that Chargers defense has really looked better over the last couple weeks. And so I think that's what makes the difference at the end of the day. I think they're a better defensive team, and I think they win this game.
Okay, the next matchup is the game of the day. The Kansas City Chiefs are going into Santa Clara, California, up against the San Francisco 49ers, in which this is basically a pick 'em. The Chiefs are favored by a point, but you got to win by a point. So to me, this is still a pick 'em. Vegas is up to something. I'm going with the Niners as they get McCaffrey in here. Even though I know the Chiefs have that offense that you got to worry about trying to stop, is there something about it? I don't think that the Niners are in too much danger while their defense has been stout this season and actually holding it down. I'm going to go with the Niners to shock the world today. Mike, who do you like in this game?
Okay. I'm going to go the other way on this one, but only because I think this is the first game for McCaffrey getting in there. I think he's going to be a little bit limited today as he gets the hang of the offense. You're going to see him in red zone and in certain packages, unless he just catches on way better than people think. I think that this San Francisco offense will probably be even better once they get a few weeks to kind of acclimate to each other, and I hope for their sake that Christian McCaffrey can stay healthy for a little while for this team, especially since they made all these trades to get him. I agree with you, San Francisco's defense is more stout. I'm going to ride with Mahomes today. Once again, better quarterback and a little bit more rhythm on that offense. So I'm going to ride with Kansas City, but I don't feel confident about this one either. This is one that could easily go either way.
This is stunning. Vegas is pulling it. Like, to me, to be honest, I think the Chiefs are winning like no brainer. But with them saying at one point, and they just got McCaffrey there, and they're going to play him, it's like it's easy to go Chiefs. It's easy to do that. I feel like Vegas is up to something. I want to see if the Niners can prove me right in this one. I'm going with San Fran. Okay, the last, they're waiting all day for this one. The Steelers are going into Miami up against the Dolphins. The Dolphins are favored by 7.5. This is what I was talking about within the AFC North. If the Steelers can go into Miami and steal this game, they'll be 3-4 along with a couple more teams within that division. Mike, who do you like in this matchup, the Steelers or the Dolphins, as Tua returns?
Tua Tagovailoa is supposed to be back today. He has shown you when he is on the field that if he gets a little bit of time to throw the ball down the field, that he can and he can utilize those receivers. I do like the Steelers' pass rush, so you hope they can kind of keep Tua clean or that he doesn't take any – I mean, he don't get hit, but he doesn't take any, you know, extra damage or anything like that happens to him today. If they keep Tua upright, I think the Dolphins win. I just think that they probably have the more explosive offense, and so I think Pittsburgh drops to 2-5 and continues on their long road. And they, you know, they got one win in Florida. I just don't think they're going to get two in a row.
I'm going with the Dolphins. Tua returning, that offensive line has to take a personal to protect that quarterback, especially what we've seen just a few weeks ago. I don't even feel like this is enough time for him to be back on the field. But nevertheless, they have to protect that jewel of Tua being back there. While everybody gave up on him before the season, they started clicking and off to a good start. They're actually 500, and they need him because every quarterback behind him is not good or better than him. They need him for him to be successful within the AFC East. I'm going with the Dolphins to continue this role. Mike, last but not least, the Monday Night Football game. We have the Chicago Bears going into Massachusetts up against the New England Patriots. The Patriots are favored by 7.5 in this matchup. Who do you like in this matchup and why, Mike?
You know, this is not – a really good Monday Night Football game matchup, to be honest with you. I like the Patriots, man. That defense has found a different gear over the last couple weeks. They frustrated Cleveland's offense. They frustrated Detroit's offense a couple weeks ago. And I just think that Justin Fields is having trouble hitting those receivers. Chicago can run the ball. I still don't think that line's very ideal with their pass blocking. And I just think that Belichick is going to confuse him. I mean, hopefully not too bad to where he's as bad as like Sam Darnold seeing ghosts. But I think the Patriots are just going to be too much. And so they'll win the Super Bowl 20 rematch 30-some-odd years later.
Well, I'm going with the Patriots, no-brainer. I don't care who they're starting. They're telling me that Mac should be returning, even though Bailey's actually been playing well behind center. I was actually having a joke within the other social media that I'm around. I'm like, how does Hoyer feel? Hoyer being in the midst of this, and all of the quarterbacks around him are younger than him, excelling in the system, and he's never been able to get it, and he's been there the longest, still standing there around while he was there with Brady, and he still can't run the system. I'm going with the Patriots to get this done. I think the Bears do keep this interesting. I think the Bears actually cover this on a Monday night. I think Vegas is going to catch a lot of people because of the way that game went up against the Commanders. where they couldn't do anything. They couldn't score the ball. I think the Bears are going to score and make this an interesting one. But I think the Patriots do just enough to win this matchup and get above 500 on the season. Okay, Mike, so we are done with all of we have on Sunday's slate of games. Is there anything else that you'd like to address before we get out of here?
Yes, I would like to address the dumpster fire in New Orleans, and it is not the basketball team for once. This football team is 2-5. Listen, they had one bad stretch towards the end of the first half where, you know, the Cardinals got 14 points in the last 2 minutes of the first half. The offense has been pretty explosive, and they made more plays in the passing game this year than they've done previously. But this is the first time that this team has been 2-5 since Sean Payton was not the coach, like 2005. They were bad. The Bounty Gate year when Sean Payton was not the coach, he had the one-year suspension. But this team has been bad. Hopefully they can do something with this little extended week here since you got, you know, a week and a half before you got to get back, sort of a mini bye where they sent everybody home and said, let's come back and start over on Monday. But this team is 2-5 and in trouble. The only thing that they're a little bit saved by is this: the fact that the South has not been a very good division so far, so you're still not super far out, and you still have all of your opponents still in front of you to play before this year is out. But this team is in disarray just 1 year after Sean Payton left, and this is too talented of a football team to be 2-5. But, you know, to me, it not only starts at the top. I'm looking at you, Dennis Allen. You failed as a head coach before. This is your chance to sort of redeem yourself. You had a very talented football team, and right now you look like you're in over your head, and you're not even treading water, bro. We can barely, like, see you under the surface. But then I also want to look at, like, some of the medical staff and whatever. The Saints are having trouble keeping their best guys on the field. Lattimore's been out for a while. Thomas is hurt again. Landry's been out. So I don't know what's going on personnel-wise or whatever else. And they said that they're going to really take a hard look at what's going on with this team over the next few days and see if they can address some of this. Listen, you got your work cut out for you, and I don't know if you can get – I don't know if you can get all that work done even if you pull the 80-hour week, bro. This is it's not looking good right now in New Orleans. Still hoot at black and gold all day, baby, but it does not look pretty right now in New Orleans for the Saints, bro. I just had to go ahead and get that off my chest. I appreciate you letting me do that.
No doubt, definitely. You got to get it off your chest. Believe me, I already know all about feeling a certain way about your team and nobody hears you. Well, this is where you can get it off. So I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we get up out of the brunch today.
Man, as always, man, first and foremost, much love and respect to you, TP. Without you, I wouldn't be here. Shout out to the other chefs, Villain, Sirius. We do the NFL free-for-all on Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time. We got the callers cookout on Wednesday nights. And then, of course, we have the time of Sunday morning brunch on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern time, where we recap everything for you. Shout out to the barbershop on Clubhouse, man. Listen, we're continuing to grow. We'll have live rooms today, so you come in, get updated on what's going on in the NFL world. Check in throughout the week, man. We always have rooms open. And listen, you come speak on the topic, but you wait too long to come in there. We'll be off on a bunch of other topics, man. We were even talking about parenting and new babies for one of the regulars in the barbershop who's expecting a kid pretty soon. So life conversations, man, sports, music, culture, comfortable, uncomfortable conversations, all that in the barbershop. We just talked about the Phillies, man, being one game away from the World Series. Check out phiapparel.co. Use the code CHEFS at checkout for 15% off there. So, yeah, get your Philly clothing, man. If you're not a Phillies fan, you might know somebody that is. Listen, they're hot. Eagles still undefeated. So there's a lot going on positive in the sporting world for Philadelphia right now. So there's a need to represent. And so you can get all your Philly clothing at phiapparel.co and use CHEFS at checkout for 15% off. And then lastly, sportscitychefs.com. Check out the blog, the website, the finger foods, the articles, all different things we got out there that The chefs are putting out good content, so check it out. Support us, man. Click and subscribe. And don't forget, you can always listen to us on your Amazon devices, Google Smart Speakers, all that stuff. Just tell them, play Sports City Chefs. And they'll hook you right up, and you can check us out, man. But, hey, listen, I needed some good news to happen. And I got it yesterday with the Tigers winning, man. So, listen, through the bye week and as we proceed on through the month of October, man, we're going to say it like we always do, bro. Les et les bons temps roulés.
Okay, well, this guy said everything that I needed to do. I don't need to promote anything at this point in time. It's about to be mayhem all in my family because I have a ton of Cowboy fans, and I got to pick up things from the store. They're like, get this and get that. Make sure you hurry up and get this. Oh, and I'm like, I can't even run it to the full extent. So this is why I'm on the gun right now because they are talking junk, and this is one of the biggest rivalries, and I only get to see this every 4 years. But they let the Lions and the Cowboys meet up a lot. But, you know, the initial one is 4-4 and 4-4, and I don't like waiting 4 years while they get to talk junk. Be like, oh, you remember how the last game went? So it's here now. Luther Vandross, I've had enough. Even though I'm mad that Swift is out again, this dude has been out for 4 weeks. DJ Chark has been out for 4 weeks. It's like, how are we going to get going? And you're still sitting out, Jameson Williams. But I still love my team regardless, man. We got to make it happen. But on that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City Chefs, Chefs.
Connecticut.